Yo, it's Jeff Ross, Mike's Hot, Let's Ride. Caffeinated kangaroo with a crew worldwide. From Tassie to LA, we flip the script. Helping burnt out dads, let the hustle shift. This ain't hype, it's purpose and play. Building biz with soul, the laptop that way. Reels, AI, freedom in your grip. With a boom sauce beat and a real talk tip. Hear the soul, let's bounce. Legend in the awesome town where kangaroos coach and kings wear crowns. System sauce, baby.
There we go, get the dad dance going. Hear this boom sauce, baby. All right, let's rock and roll. We're going to do something a little bit different today. You may be noticing us jumping up live here quite regularly, just the two of us. And that's because we've got some pretty exciting stuff that we're about to share towards the end of July. But today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We're going to do interview style, podcast interview style, if you will. And today's guest is Dave Miller, our AI strategist, innovator, and systems behind, you know, everything LLD. You know, so let's get this party started. And for those of you who don't know who I am, my name's Jeff Ross. I'm the founder of Laptop Lifestyle Dad Show. I'm your caffeinated kangaroo tour guide through the wild world of social selling, storytelling, and AI-powered business freedom. Now that you've heard me talk about the future of AI in that space, we're going to shift gears. We're going to hear about Dave today and hear his point of view on what we see for the future of AI and social selling. You know, I'm bringing on this guy because he is my go-to everything AI, and he's the guy I want to see when I turn around the corner. You know, the tech whisperer behind some of the most powerful builds that we're putting together here to serve our amazing community. He's the brain behind, you know, all of our custom GPTs and everything AI, the architect of some of our funnels. It just don't look good. You know, Jade helps us to make things look good, but Dave helps with the automation side of things to help everything convert like crazy. And he's one of the smartest, heart-centered-driven people that I know. So, Dave, welcome to the show, brother. Let's dive in and to all things future of what's happening with AI space and what's next for the LLD community. So, Dave, let's kick it off with your story. Yeah, how did you get started with AI, and when did you realize that this wasn't just a trend, but it was a total paradigm shift?
Well, I think probably about 6 months, I think, roughly, give or take a little bit before I met you, I would have got started in AI. And I've always been into tech and computers and stuff like that, even though, you know, my main background is construction and environmental work, that sort of thing. So you like chalk and cheese on it, but that's what everybody used to say to me, but that's just the way I'm wired. So, you know, what can I do? But pretty much, you know, I started playing around with it straight away because it was, well, one, it interested me, and two, I could, see, I don't know, there was just something inside of me that just said, this is something you need to be involved with. And you know, so I guess basically I was able to run into you, did one of your 3-day, boot camp, we'll call it, but, you know, 3-day things back then, and realized that there was a lot more I needed to learn from that point forward. And, you know, because I guess like everybody, when you first start using it and you're just using ChatGPT, you know, didn't even know about Claude at that stage. It was only ChatGPT. So, you know, I was like everybody else and saying, you know, write me a post for this. And I thought, oh, this is bloody brilliant, you know, and I copy and paste that, and you know, it sounded all right. So I copy and paste it and stick it into you know, my social media and get crickets, of course. But, you know, it was, I guess, spending that bit of time with you, those few days with you, and then obviously, you know, learning how to, you know, I guess feed it the information that it needed to get, you know, instead of getting garbage out all the time, get that decent stuff out. You know, and then obviously from there, that just lit another fire inside of my soul. And, you know, I ran into other people thanks to you, you know, Jeff J. Hunter, you know, a little bit of Jonathan Marsh. He sort of probably came into it a little bit later for me, but I've really been a big fan of obviously what I've learned from you, but of Jeff J. Hunter as well, and the personalization of, you know, creating AI personas. And, you know, I guess there's sort of two ways of doing those, which is very similar. The AI personas are very similar to what, you know, you taught me, you know, originally. And then obviously then training them and putting them into custom GPTs. And that's where the real thing came for me. It was learning how to do that, learning that I could actually have control over it, you know, because originally when we first started with the customer with ChatGPT, you could put stuff in there and you would get reasonable answers out of it. But the more people used it, the more garbage went into its training, so the more garbage came out. So then that led us to needing to have a better way. Excuse me, of controlling that, and that was one of the things that I learned was the best way to control it was is to give it the data. And that's why for me data has been a very important part of my construction of my custom GPTs. And everybody goes on about being a prompt engineer and all the rest of it, and while yes, if you're using the generic systems, I guess then prompt engineering probably comes into play, and even with your custom GPTs, a little bit better prompt going to give you a little bit better answer. But I guess the biggest thing for me, and one of the things that I have managed to build, I took that off ChatGPT or OpenAI, to be honest, is a system where people are basically just filling in a form with their information. And then because of the training that the custom GPTs have had, they give you really, brilliant answers because of the training data and stuff like that. So I guess I was just trying to make that simplicity there for people. But now we've advanced that far. It's crazy. I mean, you can talk to the thing now with a microphone. You couldn't do that back then. So we're just going ahead in leaps and bounds. So, I've pretty much known all along that there's going to be something amazing coming out of it. And every day that we turn around, there's more and more coming out of it.
Yeah. I'm into this, but whilst you're talking about custom GPTs, I want to basically just quickly share with people, and get you to explain what this one here that you've built here with the VO prompt builder. Like, I love how you can just get solution focused and you're wanting to help streamline, from start to end product and just be a service to help our audience in that space. So just listen, this is a custom GPT that you built. And, we've actually got this for sale for just $5 at the moment. But explain, what's the end result that you're hoping people to achieve with this customer GPT, and why did you put it all together for us?
Okay. I think you're sharing the wrong screen, buddy.
I do. Let me bring up the right one. Why isn't it?
That's coming? Okay. Well, let's try.
There we go.
I guess the whole purpose of building it, there's two options there. There's there's the prompter, which gives you a bit more background and gives you shows you how things are a little bit created to make it easier for people to create prompts that are going to give them good results. And that prompter is actually not just for VO3; it does several different
SOAR and
all that sort of stuff on there. And that's that was basically just for people who aren't sure, how to get started, how to prompt it so they're going to get decent results, And that was the whole idea. I created that. And then, for people that are a little bit more familiar, the same thing. It was, you just basically type into the custom GPT what you want, and it'll spit you out a fully formatted prompt that's suitable for VO3 in particular. But again, they can be used on any of the video creators, like Kling and
Sora, VO, RunML, Lunar Dream, Pixel Labs. So anything that really requires a prompt to be able to help get the job done.
The background behind that was a little bit of training that I did from my other good friend Jeff J. Hunter, but I could see a need with, every time something gets released and all the big boys get involved and it gets pushed, everybody wants to be a part of it, Everybody's gone, wow, okay, now I can actually make videos with sound. But, if I type into it, give me a dog barking on the beach, well, yeah, it'll probably give you a dog barking on the beach, but what the heck are you going to use that for? except to amuse yourself for 5 seconds. But if you want to actually create I guess, relevant content or, you know, commercials for yourself or, you know, whatever they may be, something that's a bit more tangible and a bit more...
There's a bit more structure to it, right? So we need to highlight the scene. We need to highlight the characters. We need to highlight the audio captions, the screenshots, the storyboard of it all. And so instead of rather trying to have to be a prompt engineer to work all that out, you've put together a custom GPT to get people to answer a couple of questions, and it basically creates the prompt for them, right?
Correct. You know, if you actually, well, you know, it's amazing when you dive right into it, even like with images and videos, even, you know, more particular because of how important everything is, you know. Like you said, you know, you've got what style of, you know, a camera do you want to use? You know, how do you want that motion flowing through that camera? How do you want the character to move? You know, what lighting do you want?
Do you want the camera to the left? Do you want the camera to the right? Do you want
exactly? There's just That's why we used to pay, and well, you know, some people probably start paying, you know, movie director. Well, not movie director, but I guess, they probably are movie directors even to be able to make decent commercials for TV and stuff like that. Yeah. They would have to have that background because it is just so complicated in what you've got to do, to be honest. But you know, now with the power of AI, and it just so makes it so much easier for everybody to have that opportunity. So, you know, it doesn't have to, you don't have to be a, you know, work in a recording studio or, you know, be a filmmaker. You can actually now go out and create decent videos that are, you know, going to be beneficial for, you know, your business and, you know, your audience. And that's what it's all about. So for me, I build all these things and really it's just to help people make the process easier for them. You know, it's the same with the image ones and the writing ones and everything else that I do. It's just to make everybody's life easier, to be honest.
Yeah.
And give everybody an even playing field.
Yeah, I can see Harold's just answering a question here. How do I find these videos? Well, Harold, that's what we're basically saying. Come to people like us and we'll teach you how to do this. You know, we're running a 30-day program starting on July 25th. At the moment, we've got an early bird special. You can come join the program. It's only $199. And, you know, I've paid tens of thousands of dollars in training like this before, and we've lowered the price down so we can get the, you know, the information out to the masses in that space. And we teach you how to do this step by step, you know, hold your hand almost so you can figure it all out. And so instead of having to try and figure it out for yourself, you know, we're immersed in this space, you know, we're, you know, 25 years of combined experience, we know where to look, and it's that whole learn, do, teach model. And whilst I'm talking about that, trying to find that funnel, Dave, just quickly, let's just talk about that 30-day program and what we're helping people to achieve with that. What's the main goal that we're going to be achieving, mate?
Well, I guess we're basically going to be taking them through our voice framework to enable them, I guess, really to create content that's, you know, not going to blend in with the crowd. It's going to make them stand out. You know, it's going to come from their heart. They're going to learn how to, you know, I guess a basic run through the customer value journey. But it's really, you know, how you can use those aspects of the voice framework to really dive into the psychological side of things. You know, create content that really resonates with the heart of your audience, and then, you know, from that, we're then going to show you how to, you know, put that into images and videos, whether they be, you know, 5-second, 10-second, 20-second commercials, whether they're, you know, short TikTok reels, all that sort of stuff. So, you know, there's just so much they're going to learn in 30 days that, you know, they probably wish they had 60 days to learn it or 90 days to learn it. But, you
that's
know.
The thing, right? They're going to have the access to the replays and go back over it and all that sort of thing. We're just doing it 30 days because that's how we're unfolding and delivering the information. But this is information that you'll be able to go back and, you know, 5, 10, 20 times, however long it takes for you to follow the bouncing ball. And it's not just about creating content for the sake of creating content. Like, there's enough garbage out there, right? This is about creating content with purpose and with story and with connection, with, you know, taking people on that customer value journey to take them from cold to sold in that space. So, you know, there are loads of different tools out there. There's loads of different ways to do this with the prompting side of things, but we're just going to be sharing, you know, our knowledge base of how we operate on a day-to-day basis, you know, and teach you everything we know in that content marketing space over that 30-day period.
Exactly. So
Dave, let's come back to your story a little bit here and your journey. So what were some of the light bulb moments early on that showed you how AI can completely transform marketing and productivity and even communication?
Wow, that's a good one. I guess the speed of which you were able to get stuff out to market, you know, is probably the biggest thing is productivity. You know, it was a matter of, you know, you could sit there on a Sunday afternoon and prepare, you know, a week or maybe only a couple of days, depending on, you know, how long it took you to work out how to create your content. You know, and we had a few programs out there where, you know, you could set them up and they would, you know, auto post to your page and all that sort of stuff, which was helpful. But, you know, once you learned how to leverage the power of AI, like I do most of my posting on the run, on the fly. You know, I could be sitting there scrolling through Facebook and go, oh, that looks all right. Okay, what am I going to do with that? And about 2 minutes later, I've got an image and a post that's completely, you know, different, but might have the same sort of story behind it, you know, out into the world. And that's the difference. You know, it's, it went from, I guess, initially it went just from, you know, I guess text. And then, you know, you used to get text and you'd probably put a Canva, you know, an image you created on Canva with it, or, you know, a stock image you could put with it. You know, then, you know, we had DALL-E 3 and a few others, you know, Bing Image Generator and Leonardo and Midjourney, all those sort of things that have come to the fray. And, you know, and the quality of the image has just kept improving and improving and improving. And, you know, now you've got things like Wisk, so Google, I think it's Imagen 4. You know, and obviously Midjourney's jumped on the bandwagon where you can actually animate your images in there now as well. You know, you've got, you know, other software platforms like Fal AI where you can get access to everything, you know, and you're only paying for what you use. You know, it's probably a little bit more complicated, but, you know, just the ability to be able to create text, create images, and now, you know, decent videos as well. It's just, I guess that was the thing at the start of it.
And I just want to, whilst you're talking about that, just want to show them an example of where it is here. Like, let me just find, I post so much. Here we go. You know, I'll just play around with something gimmicky here, but it's about entertaining that space. So it's not always about marketing, not always about sales. Right. It's about a bit of fun.
Exactly.
So, like, I saw this image of, you know, the statue of Jesus over Brazil, the old Rio there. And I uploaded it to, you know, a tool called Vio to have a bit of, you know, create a bit of animation. So what I said was, as I turned Jesus into a, you know, a Jedi here and bring some Star Wars theme to it and the stormtroopers. And you can see here, basically saying, it's over Brazil. I have the high ground.
You know? Fun. And I guess, and that's the thing, like you said, it's not always about marketing. Yeah, it's also about having a bit of fun, you know, putting a bit of enjoyment in the comedy out there.
The intention here is to lead by example and show others what is possible in this space and, you know, get into that creative space. Let's just quickly just watch this little 8-second clip. So that was the image. I saw the image online. That's not my original image. I copied and pasted that into Vio, and then I gave it a bit of a prompt here to get my instruction. The prompt was really basic. Now, if I spent a bit more time with it, I could get a lot more detail in it, but I just wanted to do that, and I did this in literally 2 minutes, and this is the end product.
It's over, Brazil. I have the HIIH ground. It's over, Brazil.
Right, so you can see, like, even the it's over, Brazil. I have the HIIH ground. You know, like, it's quirky. You know, it's gimmicky. You know, it's, you know, AI is not 100% there with all the wording, but it shows you what's possible in that space, right?
Like you said, it only took you a couple of minutes. So, yeah, it's just great to see how things have advanced, but I guess the thing is how fast they're advancing on a daily basis. I mean, there's right. You know, you've got competition wars out there at the moment with, you know, video. There's now I forget what it's called, but there's a Chinese model that's just been released as well, which is gonna, you know, be a big competitor to VO3 and to Kling, I believe, and obviously to Sora as well. You know, and as things get, you know, more and more heated up and they, you know, refine, I guess these software's better, these AIs better, then, you know, it's just going to be amazing what we're going to be able to produce, you know, sitting behind a keyboard.
It's progress. Like, it helps to be faster in that space. And this is the thing that's just fascinating. Like, we've been immersed in this now for 2.5-3 years, But what's happened in the last 6 months is just mind-blowing. So Dave, what do you think's been the biggest shift in AI over the last 6 months that people still don't realize?
Probably the AI agents, really. You know, how they come, things like, you know, Operator and Manus, and there's hundreds of others out there. I'm just talking about the two probably more well-known ones that are actually useful, you know, that they can be actually set up to autonomously do stuff for you. You know, and I believe Claude on its desktop version, you can get it to do stuff too. You can then connect it to it now. The only one that's lagging a little bit there, and I mean, you can do it, but it's a little bit more tricky, is OpenAI, but, you know, with their, like, your custom GPTs and that. And that's the thing that I'm really waiting for, or really trying to hammer home or to get into and work out, is how, because I know my custom GPTs are so bloody good, I want to know how I can make them their own little bots, so they can do the work autonomously. So, you know, there are ways.
For the layman out there that doesn't understand the term AI agent, what does that actually mean, you know, and what is the purpose of an AI agent, and how does it work?
Well, I guess your AI agents are, I guess, basically chatbots, I suppose, that can actually do work without, you know, you give them one lot of instructions, or once you get them set up and they're properly set up, well, you know, from that initial prompt, they can make their own decisions and they can go and complete the work for you. So, you know, if I, you know, want to have, say, I get Menace now, I think it is, I can get it to go into, say, LinkedIn, for instance, and I can get it to scroll for particular people, and I can get it to actually get the information for those particular people. I can get them to put it onto a Word document, then I can get it to if they've got the details there for me to have in a data space. And then they can also create a, you know, an opening message for them. And, you know, it can actually just automatically post it. Or if you're a bit more like me, what you get it to do is to get it to be approved before you post it, so that you're not, you know, looking like an idiot.
Yeah, right.
You know, because I can still make you look like an idiot. But, you know, that's crazy.
A real world example of this at in a drive-thru in Melbourne at a store called Hungry Jack's. You know, I'm not sure about American friends, and so basically this was a digital board, you know, it had the menu there, like LLD screen. It gave you the menu that was on you know, on order for Hungry Jack's, all their burgers and, you know, and that type of thing. And this is a job that's been replaced today, you know, because at the other end of that, you know, you used to drive up, you used to have the speaker box that you're speaking to a person at the other end of it to get your order, and then you drive through to the window and you pay and all this. Well, this is all happening on this one screen, and it's an AI agent communicating back to the driver to, yeah, take their order. And it's like having a two-way conversation. I kid you not. It felt like a human experience. And yeah, so they ordered it. They asked for correction. You know, is this right? No, it's not. Okay, cool. And like, it's still a little bit buggy, but you can see it got there pretty quickly. And so it took the person's order. It wasn't just a simple order. It was like an order for a family. And then they paid for it on the screen with a tap and pass. And then they went to the driver and picked up their order, and they're out. Now, that's a job. That's probably one or two jobs that have been taken already from the fast food industry with AI agents kicking into gear.
Yeah, and without trying to scare people, you know, because I think we all need to work out how to jump on the bandwagon and learn how we can use it to benefit us, because there are going to be jobs that are going, you know, I mean, it's the same with the, you know, the manufacturing market, you know, where, you know, for many, many years, the car markets used, you know, automated robots to help, you know, assemble cars and stuff like that. But the thing now is that the technology has become that advanced that, you know, they can send an actual little robot to, you know, go and select the part that it needs and brings it over and puts it like, so they really only probably need one person in the factory where they needed 50 before, because they just need somebody that can make sure that, you know, this robot's doing what it's supposed to. And that's going to go shortly too, because the robots will be managing the robots.
this hasn't been just happening overnight. Like, this has been happening for 12 years. I'm a cabinet maker by trade, and when I, you know, go back about 25 years ago and I did my apprenticeship, I sort of saw the revolution there of, you know, a little bit of robotics starting to kick in. You know, as I was finishing my apprenticeship, the factory that I worked at, they bought in this great big thing called a BSE. And so a BSE is like a computerized router, pretty much, a CRM thing. And what it did, so I used to be the person who used to get the router and cut the you know, cut the wood and cut the bedhead frames and the style and all that, and you know, do all of that. And it used to take me probably around about 2.5 hours to 3 hours to do a bedhead. Well, this Biesi came in, and you just put the plank of, you know, the panel there, and it does it all in about 2 minutes. And so what I could do in 3 hours, it was probably doing 30 of these bedheads compared to what I did. And that was 20 years ago. Like, exactly, you know, this has been on a journey. Like, you know, it's not something that's just happening overnight. It's something that's unfolding very, very fast right now.
As the technology improves, that's why.
Yeah, that's it, right? And we can either learn to embrace it and get, or we can get fearful, but these revolutions have happened, you know, over and over and over again. And the ones who embrace it are the ones who help pioneer the new path forward, are normally the ones that really win at the other side of it, right? So,
well, you know, I've been talking to some people that are some pretty big players that in the industry, and you know, they've been using this stuff for like 20 years before we known it as AI, I guess. It's probably like the internet. It's like the internet revolution. You know, we used to use computers and we type in DOS and things would happen. Then all of a sudden, in whatever it was, 1990 something, you know, Windows came out. You know, and then that just made it accessible to everybody. You know, and you know, still some people were sort of fighting against it and all the rest of it. But as we, you know, stories, you know, unfolded now, and everybody uses it, we sort of can't live without it, so to speak.
Like we can see any product that comes to mass market, there's always the early adopters, there's always the pioneers, there's always, you know, the adventurers before it turns into mass market. Like, we're just in that stage right now where AI has really taken mainstream. And
we're probably still just in that early adopter sort of stage with a lot of things, you know, as far as businesses taking it up and stuff like that. But, now that with the pace...
We're heading into that mainstream, that's what I mean, where we're jumping that divide into mainstream where it's really going to start to ramp up. And what we've seen in the last 2 years is going to be nothing compared to what we see in the next 6 months.
Well, that's right. Well, I'm actually trying to get hold of Perplexity's new browser, but I got to get on a wait list.
I'm on the waiting list for that too, but that's fascinating. I saw Jonathan Maas talk about the browser wars of the 90s, and, you know, we're about to see another revolution of browsers. And I had a bit of an explanation there on Perplexity's new browser, you know, just for going through their sales page, and just mind-blowing. I actually can't wait to get access to that. Get off that waiting list and away we go.
Yeah, well, I want to be interested to see. I want to see how they sort of compare. You know, obviously their search results, I think, are going to be way better, but it's not going to be long before Google and Firefox and everybody else jumps on board as well. In the, you know, internet, well, it's not in Explorer now, it's Edge or something. That's how long it's been since I've used that one. But no offense, Microsoft, but you know, your browser sucks. You know, these things are just going to make our search, you know, I guess the results so much better. I mean, you can already see it with Perplexity, you know, without even being a browser.
I can't remember the last time I used Google search engine. I think mine's been ChatGPT or Perplexity for the last 6 months at least.
Yeah, I'm still a bit slow. I use a mixture of them. Depends what I've got open and what I'm looking for, to be honest.
I got back from Japan, right? So we were traveling around Japan there a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, prior to that, I probably would have had a travel agent, you know, do all my planning for me and all that sort of thing. We use ChatGPT, we use Google Maps, we use Google Translate, and we did it all on our own. Like, yes, there were some times that we hopped on the wrong train and we had to go to the next stop and figure it out, but it was made a part of the adventure. There wasn't one time that we felt like we were out of control or overwhelmed, because if I had a question, I went to ChatGPT and I typed out, you know, this is where we're at, this is what we're doing. And it gave me the instructions step by step for the next thing to do. And it's like,
crazy, isn't it?
I don't need a travel agent anymore. Like that supported me on that journey. It was really brilliant.
I guess it comes back to the thing, you know, it won't be too long. I guess, you know, if you've done a little bit of travel and you've got a little bit of know-how in the AI space where you can manage to get through on your own, I guess for the people that are, you know, probably a little bit lazier, that, you know, are going to still go to a travel agent and get that sort of full service delivery. But, you know, it just goes to show you how far that technology's come and where we're sort of heading to. And the thing is with, I guess, your social media, your content marketing and that, you know, what's coming and giving us the ability to do a lot of this stuff, you know, it's really fascinating, really great, but it's really scary for some people. So,
well, it can be scary, or it can be great and fascinating. Embrace it, right? So I know that the most people that are probably going to get hung up and complain about this, there's probably one thing that I can point out, and that's their pride and ego that's been hurt. You know, they're right. Losing a sense of control. They're losing a sense of power, and they're trying to defend that power versus, okay, now how can I partner with this technology and go and help more people with it? And I think that's going to be the big thing that stops a lot of people embracing this space. It's probably just going to be their pride and ego.
Yeah, that's right. Almost ignorance and non-acceptance, I suppose. And the thing is, you know, once they actually work it out that, you know, if it's used wisely, it's going to, you know, I guess, you know, give them leverage, give them power, amplify their, well, if marketing term would be amplify or elevate their voice, that sort of thing. But like the productivity side of things, yeah, when I've spoken to business people, what I try and emphasize is, you know, even like with, you know, giving their staff custom GPTs or AI personas to improve their workflow, you know, is they should be, I don't know, so many people say, oh, but it's AI, it's this, it's that. Well, so what if it's AI? Who cares whether it's written by AI? Is the content good? You know, is the end result what you want? And how much faster did you get it?
I had a guy to my inbox the other day. And he came from the right space and the right heart. He said, hey, Jeff, I'm loving your content, but I just want you to lose the hyphenated things between the words. You know, how you got the extra emphasis and the extra hyphens and all that sort of thing. And because he said, oh, you could tell it 100 mile away that it's AI. And that was my exact response. So what? Because the content itself, you can still read it. It's actually better to articulate it than I probably do myself. And it's still me putting my input, my thoughts together. I don't give a shit really about those little hyphens.
It's actually funny you mention that, because I've spent a bit of time and I've got rid of it out of a few of my AIs, but I'll still throw one in every now and again. But then I actually realized that's exactly how I type messages. So yeah, exactly, if somebody, right? So I'm actually worrying about something that I actually do myself anyway. I'm worrying that AI is doing it, yet I bloody do it anyway, because I know that when I type a message to somebody in Messenger, I you know, instead of putting a comma or whatever, or being lazy and, you know, hitting the shift and enter button to put it on the next line, I'll just put a dash and then continue on. I'm thinking, exactly, I spent all this time training this bloody thing to stop it talking like me. What the heck? I'm trying to get it to talk like me and I'm stopping it from talking like me.
I know, it's so funny. And people forget, you know, AI has been trained off of human-written content.
People have been trained by other robots.
fascinating. Yeah, we're in this space that, you know, people are trying to mimic human behavior and avoid looking like AI. Well, so what? Like, yeah, at the end of the day, the end job, the main outcome is getting achieved, right? That's the main thing to be focused on.
Yes, that's right. You know, okay, you can understand now, you look at, you know, somebody's social media posts on Facebook and that, and yes, they got, you know, about 10 times more emojis than they probably should have, you know, and that sort of thing. But then again, you take that over to Instagram, and that's how Instagram operates. So, you know, it's awesome.
There is a space where there's the tipping point, and you can just go create generic, you know, rubbish content that does sound robotic, and you haven't put any time or effort into it to do your own research, to do your own fact-checking and all that sort of thing. And then that's where you use AI as a replacement. And I think that's where this whole comment comes up, right, is people are getting a little bit anti-AI content because they can see that there's so much rubbish out there. If you're putting your heart, and if you're using AI as an extension, as a partnership to what you're having to offer, then that is where, you know, that AI serves you versus trying to replace you.
Exactly right. And that's the whole thing. And that's what you want it to do. You want it to, you know, amplify your voice, speak from your heart, you know, take that. And that's what I found that, you know, things that, like you said before, that I'm trying to articulate, and, you know, my brain will be thinking about 300 different things, and I'll just go and I'll start putting things down, and I'll just get stuck and I'll stop. Whereas now I found if I've got a few ideas and I put them into ChatGPT or one of my GPTs that knows what's going on, then it'll give me something to work on. And I go, okay, that's what I was trying to say. Yep, that's pretty good.
Now we add this
to it.
That extension, right?
Exactly. And, you know, and And instead of being worrying about it, you know, that, you know, it's going to you know, take my job, so to speak. You know, I want to train it so that, you know, I'm its best buddy. So, you know, when the robots come, they're going to say, leave him alone. He's good, that bloke. We like him. Then they're going to come put their arm around me and say, come with us, Dave. You're right.
We've got an intimate relationship. We're all good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, buddy. Exactly.
So let's just shift gears a little bit. If someone's just getting started in this space, because I know that you and I are pretty deep down the rabbit hole, and this is something that we live and breathe, right? We have been pretty close now in this space for the last 2 years. But for someone who's just getting new to this space, and there's still good 85% of the population that's never even explored AI, you know, where should they begin without getting overwhelmed?
Well, I think just ChatGPT is probably the most obvious one, or Gemini. I mean, most people have got Google Workspace, you know, which nobody talks about much. And yeah, to be honest, it's pretty mind blowing the stuff that they're producing at the moment. So. You get access to Gemini, so either Gemini or OpenAI, so ChatGPT, you know. And I think they should invest in themselves, whether they invest time and go and watch YouTube videos, I guess. But, you know, you need to be selective on who you actually watch on YouTube as well, like with everything. You know, or they could, you know, I guess, yeah, well, we've got our academy that we do as well, you know, not just this 30-day sprint that we're doing. We've got an academy that, you know, does a six-week cycle, where, you know, it gives you all the basics. You know, it's there for beginners. That's, you know, one of our beginner entry points. And, you know, it explains how to set it up and how to use it and how to start making it sound like you and all that sort of stuff. And then obviously, you know, we've got, you know, other programs after that. But if that was where I was going to start, you know, oh, I'm glad I started there. I started there when it was a 3-day challenge. So, you know, I'll vouch for it because, you know, without that interaction with you and learning that, you know, I'd probably be still typing crap into ChatGPT and getting crap out of it. So, you know, it's that's probably a really good starting point. No, it's like everything. You make a small investment or you give up your time. So,
Yeah, that's right. You can do all of this stuff by yourself by getting onto Google University and whatnot. But my question for you is, if that was the case, why haven't you done it already? You know, most people need that community where they've got the place where they can do the discovery and the messy learning together versus trying to figure it out for themselves. And that's what the LLD Academy is all about. It's about helping you to find your voice, but how to use AI and content marketing and traction marketing to be able to help you to build a personal brand in that space. So, Dave, let's move to the future here a little bit. You know, let's focus on that and we'll wrap this interview up. But, you know, we've got our future goggles on. You know, where do you see AI heading in the next 6 to 12 months that's going to blow people's minds?
I think it'll be you'll be able to just tell an AI agent what you want done and it'll do it. As simple as that. You know, especially when it comes to, you know, I think there's a few things that are, and I think it's a bit of a shame that, you know, Facebook, for instance, you know, it's really hard to be able to post onto your personal profile. You got to, you know, have a business page or, you know, some things you can post into a group, and that sort of stuff. And I think they really need to take a good look at themselves and get rid of that restriction, so that people can do it, because I could understand probably why they've done it, because they don't want too much garbage on there. But, you know, still the people that are putting garbage on there are still putting it on there anyway, so it doesn't really matter if you ask me. But, you know, there's a few things that are putting little bits of blockers in. But, you know, you can already get, like you said, well, you know, instead of you having to use ChatGPT, there's already agents out there that you can, you know, tell now your operator, Manus, those sort of things. And I'm sure there's more with Perplexity and that as well, but you can actually get them now. And if you want, you know, if you're brave enough to give them your credit card details, they'll book your ticket to wherever you want to go. They'll book your accommodation. They'll book your meals if you need to. They'll book your ticket back home, and they'll give it all to you and say, "There, yeah, that's what you're gonna do. That's you turn up here, and you'll be right."
I really envisioned the you know, the cartoon that we grew up with called the Jetsons.
kitchens.
We've got the robot maid serving us, and we've got the flying cars going.
They're already doing that in China, I think it is, or it might be Japan, one of the two or both. There's already, they're sending up people's food meals to their rooms in little robots. They come out of the elevator on their own, and you open up the top, and there's your meal in there. You take it out, and then it toddles off and goes back down. And
it's fascinating. Like when we got off the airport at Narita Airport in Tokyo, the first thing that we're greeted with was this robot, and it was a security guard. It's just going up and down. It's got these three cameras. Its head's spinning around with these cameras and all that sort of thing. But it would have been, probably someone in a central, what do they call them, watchtowers, where they've got all the cameras there. And there's this robot going up and down. And it said, security guard of the robot. We said to Harrison, and said, oh, my God, like we just felt like we just come 30 years into the future.
I was watching something the other day. There's one running. I think it's just a Facebook clip of something. But there's one in China. It was running up and down the side of the road, running up. And then it stopped, turning. I think they were obviously testing how it could go on uneven ground. And then it was pretty amazing. They looked the best at the moment. But, there's some of them now that, some of the stuff with Elon Musk and that and other companies like that that are doing making them, look as human as they can, I guess. They're still, made out of metal. But, some of the voice stuff that's come out now, once upon a time, I've sort of stayed away from it a little bit because, a lot of the phone calls and that have sounded really, generic. But, I guess we've got to get to a point where we've got to accept, do you want somebody that sounds a little bit like a robot but solve your problem, or do you want to sit on the phone for 2 hours waiting for a human to pick it up? So
those of us who don't embrace it are going to be left behind by those who do. I find that this is a fascinating time that we're in, though, because the world is starving for connection. It's starving for human touch. It's starving for love. But in this space, there's a lot of people going, further and further away from that. So what do you think ethical and value-driven creators like you and I and businesses need to be thinking about as AI becomes even more embedded in today's daily life?
I'll put it simply, keep the human in the loop. Simple as that, really. Yeah. Because there's going to be some mundane data entry or whatever. You don't need a human in the loop. You can away you go. But if you're trying to have conversations with people, you're trying to express your brand and all that sort of stuff. Customer service, can be mostly done through chatbots on your website and all that sort of stuff, or on a phone call. But I think you've always got to have that option there if somebody wants to talk to a human. They've got to be able to talk to a human.
Keep the human in the loop. For me, I think it's high tech but high human touch. It's not an either or conversation. It's an and conversation. And if we can help the other person on the other end get to the solution, get to the outcome, get to the result faster than what it would have been, then I think that's where we need to embrace it, right? Rather than getting on a bank and having to wait there for an hour to get there, we could have someone go through a bit of a bottleneck, speed up that whole process and get them to the right person at the right time. And I think that's where AI is going to be really amazing is eliminating these bottlenecks to help to get the outcome and result faster, right?
Yeah, definitely. That's great. You go to a website and this little thing pops up down the bottom. And you think, oh, bloody hell, not again. What's this bastard going to try and sell me? But, people have actually cottoned on that, they're training them better to sort of ask more questions and be more conversational instead of having them on there as direct sell bots. They're more there for that customer service. And the thing now, instead of having that little bubble pop up, you can actually get a little person pop up if you want to, and they can actually talk to you. So, you can actually talk to them backwards.
Yeah, a little AI avatar,
Yeah, so, the technology... I guess as humans, we're trying to use the technology, but we're trying to, spend probably in some aspects too much time to make them look and feel human.
Yeah.
Not accepting that they are.
I talk a lot about my caffeinated kangaroo, right? Because you can tell that it's AI generated. I'm not trying to hide behind the fact that I'm using AI. I'm actually in the front with it. Whereas I could see some of these people using these deep fake sort of clone versions of it all, or AI twinning, as they call it sometimes, that space. And for me, I think that's where we cross the divide of trying to hide behind that, you know, I can sit back in my couch potato chair and watch TV while my AI does my work for me. And I think that's
cool. And I'm going to be excited when I get mine done. But people will know that it's not me. I'll tell them. I don't care. Like, you know.
So I love to live by the philosophy that I'm looking to work myself out a job so I can go have either a person or an AI agent or something like that to delegate those you know, everyday sort of jobs, the bottlenecks, so I can be freed up and go play a bigger and serve a bigger, wider space and be in more in that human space, if you will. It's funny that we're using terms like human space.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It'll be much longer. It'll be more and more popular because the robots will be saying it.
No, right? It's the us versus them divide. Let's talk about this for a second, right? Because jobs will be taken away. Humanity is going to transform. And I believe creativity is going to be unlocked. You know, so do you think AI is going to really, well, it is going to replace people. That's a given. We've talked about stories of that today. So, but how do you think those people who amplify it will embrace it? What do you think is going to be the next space of that evolution?
Right. Well, I'll just go back one step. But the thing is yes, we're in a changing world, and it's a new revolution, I suppose, in the way of, you know, how things are progressing. But the thing is, yes, jobs will be replaced, but other opportunities are going to open up for those people.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really replace 40 years or 30 years of experience and knowledge that's in somebody's brain, right. You know. We've got to adapt. That's all we've got to do. We don't need to be scared. We don't going to say, oh, well, you know, AI is going to take my job because I fold sheets all day or whatever it is. Okay, well, what else have you learnt in that 30 years or whatever it is of folding sheets every day in a factory? I'm sure you've learnt lots of things, you know. Yeah. So, you know, they just need to twist those skills that they've learnt and embrace them and, you know, allow AI to help them.
I love watching Sarah, my beautiful wife's journey at the moment, right? She's just, you know, like 12 months ago, we closed down the massage clinic. She'd been a massage therapist for 30 years, still beautiful massage therapist, but she's got all that knowledge and all that experience of helping people go through a lot of, you know, a lot of turmoil. And now she's positioning herself as a resilience and empowerment coach. And she's using AI to work out what her next steps are, to plan all that out, to build her brand around that. She's, you know, shifting from being this one that's always hands-on, always has to be in that same spot in a geological location to run a business, to shifting more over to as a thought leader position, going global and bigger, wider, expansive impact in that space. And this is sort of, you know, it creates and unlocks, you know, those possibilities that were probably not there before. And this is the thing, it's a speed to implementation to be able to bring something like that to life. Exactly. So let's move here into this space, and we'll look at wrapping this interview up. But what are some of the new skill sets of tomorrow's entrepreneur really needs to focus on? Like, how do we future-proof ourselves and our families for this world that we're coming into?
That's a good one. Where'd you pull that one out of left field?
You already helped me come up with that question. Before we jump to it, I said, I've got an interview going with Dave. You know, he knows this pretty well. Give me some interview questions to be able to open a really deep conversation.
Can I have that question again? I'm going to put it into my customer AI. I'll see what it says back to your customer AI. Hey?
Have robots talking to robots.
Exactly.
That's of tomorrow's entrepreneur. Like, how do we future-proof ourselves and our families in your viewpoint?
Yeah, well, from my viewpoint is we really need to embrace AI. We really need to learn how to use it to its advantage. Like, to need to learn to use it to amplify ourselves, to be smarter, you know, articulate ourselves better, get responses sooner, increase our productivity, all that sort of stuff, you know, advance our authority in, you know, if you're in the marketing world and that sort of stuff, or in business. It depends. If you're a creative person, well, you're probably you're about to have your world, I guess, explode. I suppose there's so much opportunity because, you know, the way that these images and videos are, you know, what we're able to do with that now, somebody that's already got that experience, you know, just like the marketers and so forth and so on, copywriters, you know, copywriters, good copywriter, you know, can train a GPT to be, you know, an even better than them copywriter. So if they're already good at it, it's going to be even better. You know, and the same thing with, you know, art. You know, a lot of people have got into this, you know, creating art and selling it. You know, there's an, you know, an opportunity that digital art wasn't a big thing before, you know, and, you know, all the artists, you know, went up, you know, probably, you know, up in arms about, oh, you know, it's not real paintings and that and this and that. Oh, it's, yeah, but there's room for both.
It's the same with the book authors too, right? Like, you know, four months ago, I wrote a book in 4 hours. I had all the book authors come and say, oh, no, you didn't. You had AI do it. Well, what I actually did was I transcribed, you know, 12 months worth of content, loaded that up to ChatGPT, and helped me to put together that IP, that intellectual property, if you will, into a book that helped people to leverage social media and social selling and how to embrace AI in that journey. So, AI supported me, but I wrote the book.
That's right. No, it's the same with the, you know, we have all those big kerfuffle with the movie industry and stuff like that, that's, you know, probably been going on for the last couple of years now, you know. And the thing to me is they really need to embrace it. You know, they've got the smarts, you know. If they use their noggin, which they do, you know, in their work every day.
Storylines and all of that sort of stuff. Like,
exactly right. They've got all the information there, and all the AI is doing is helping them do their job better and easier and less expensive. Like, you know, wake up. Stop. Everybody needs to stop fighting against it and embrace it and say, you know, let's run with it. You know, what can, instead of, I guess, oh, you know, what's it going to do to me? What's it going to change it and go, what, you know, what can I do for me?
Yeah, you know? What can I do, like, together? Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, work with it instead of, you know, fighting it all the time, because you're going to lose the battle. It's simple as that. You lose the battle. You won't win the battle. The robots will win the battle.
Yeah, right, you're going to lose the battle, so might as well embrace it. Can't beat them.
Well, you might as well. That's why I'm doing it, because I don't want to lose the battle.
Well, Dave, we'll be going out for closing minutes. Where are you going? Sorry. Yeah, enjoy
it. I was just going to say, you know, embrace it, enjoy it, use it to your advantage, work with it. You know, get yourself involved with other people that have worked with it or are doing things or similar to what you want to do, and just, you know, run with it from there. Have some fun. You know, stop making everything about, oh, the robots are coming. Instead, grab them and give them a, you know, give them a hug and say, come here, buddy, let's go. Let's do it together.
What is that? Skynet.
I can't wait till I get my own little robot running around that can sit down next to me. I can give him a hug, have a beer with him in the afternoon.
Oh, man, I want one of the Elon Musk robots to get in my kitchen and start cooking my meals for me.
Right? Exactly. Anyway, fun things you can do.
We can definitely go down a rabbit hole here and spend a whole another hour on this conversation. But, mate,
we have to work out pranks to play on the robots.
Yeah, this has been absolutely fire, as always. Yeah, I feel like we're just scratching the surface. I really do. But, this has been a powerful conversation. So for those, you know, our legends who are listening and watching in, I think this is definitely an interview that needs to go up on the podcast as well. You know, I need, you know, those who are asking, I need to know more. You know, how do we get inside Dave and Jeff's brain? You know, where is the best place to connect with us? You know, how do we get into the next, you know, LLD Academy? How do we get into our 30-day program? Where do people go, Dave?
I think you put the links in the comments here, didn't you, or on Facebook. But we also got a website. We've got Laptop Lifestyle Dad's website as well. You can connect up with most of the stuff there. Obviously, you can connect with us in the Facebook group, the LLD Academy Facebook group. You know, we're always around social media somewhere. So if you can't find the links, et cetera, that you're looking for, you know, reach out, have a chat, you know, have a conversation. Yeah, Jeff loves talking. You wouldn't figure that, would you? He actually loves talking and, you know, squirrel. you know, but, yeah, there's plenty of places to reach out to us. The website, the LLD Academy, the LLD group, Facebook group. Obviously, you know, we're both on social media. You can catch, you know, send us a message, reach out, have a bit of a chat, see what, you know, whether you think it's a good fit for you, that sort of stuff. And obviously, this is going live to Facebook and various other places, LinkedIn, YouTube. So, you know, they'll, in the comments, I'm sure there'll be links that Jeff's posted there as well. But, you know, you know, not necessarily just click on a link. You know, we always find it better if you want to reach out and have a bit of a chat, and, you know, if you want to dig in a little bit deeper, feel free, have a bit of a chat conversation, see where it leads you.
We do like to chat, but we're on mission, we're on purpose, and we're, you know, I'm happy to put an hour aside and give you my attention 100%, but we've got jobs to do. And, you know, we're very focused, and what we're looking to is just to find people who want to lock arms with us and run and really, you know, embrace this space, like find their voice, elevate their voice, amplify their voice, and build a personal brand around something that they can control. So then when we look at, you know, network and affiliate marketing opportunities, that they're just products on our shelf. And you know, it's about supporting your life by design. And, you know, AI and content marketing is just one piece of that puzzle. And so what we bring together is the strategy, is the implementation, is the community to be able to support you on that journey. So, guys, thank you very much.
It is.
Sorry, Dave?
I said, what a wonderful community it is. There's so many awesome people in that community of ours that, you know, just the unsung heroes are going about their business and, you know, always offering, you know, help where they can and, you know, just support people, you know, on their journey. And, you know, they're not, nobody's in there, you know, with an ego. Everybody's in there, you know, learning from a whatever part of their journey they're on. And they're always, you know, even if they're only just not long started, you know, if they can help somebody, they jump in, they try and help somebody. And then, you know, you've got people that have been there for longer that'll, you know, that do the same thing. And that's what we want. We want people in there that are going to be active and, you know, communicate, help with each other, offer value, because that's what we're trying to do, is offer value. And, you know, if you come on board, that's going to be one of the prerequisites, is you need to offer value to be in our community.
You need to contribute, for sure.
Correct. If you're just going to sit there and be a, you know, a sun mullet, then it's not really a community. So, you know, we want that. Well, participants in the community.
Yeah, that's it. So, guys, this has been a wrap. This is the Laptop Lifestyle Dad Show. You know, we're here to help you to stop hustling harder, to start building smarter, you know, with AI as your co-pilot to be able to support you on that journey. And so it's Dave and Jeff here from the Laptop Lifestyle Dads community. Thank you very much for your time. We'll catch you next time, legends, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye for now.
Thanks, guys. Bye.